Thank you, David. And isn't it wonderful to know that someday, not only here in this world, but in the world to come, that you and I will be privileged to sing "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name" before the great throne of God. Beautiful song, wonderful sentiment. You know, in our best attempts to serve our Lord and our Master and to honor our King, there are times when we all fail in life. We don't like to admit it because we all like to believe that we're above failure at times. But that's not always the case. There was a football coach one time who was asked how he picked his team from a bunch of raw recruits. He said, "Well, I hate to give away my secret," he said, "but I'll tell you how I do that." He said, "I take them all out into the woods, and then at a given signal, I start them running." And he says, "Those that run around the trees are chosen as guards. And those that run into the trees are chosen as tackles." Now, you know, sometimes we all feel like maybe we're running into the tree instead of running around it. Because we all face difficulties every day in our life. There are times, no doubt, when we even feel that we have failed in just about everything we attempt to do. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about the subject of failure. And specifically, four important things you need to know about it. The word failure has bad vibrations. Nobody likes to hear that word. The student that is told that he has failed the fifth grade. It's a very difficult thing for him to accept. The man who has applied for a job and takes the test and is told that he failed leaves with embarrassment. Many in this world have developed what we call a failure complex. Many people fail in their marriages. They do. Men and women both. And they seemingly feel that if I could just get married again, I would find the right woman. Or I would find the right man. But that's not always the case. There are four things that you need to know about failure. Let me share them with you quickly tonight. Number one, because we have failed does not mean that we are a failure. You know what we label people sometimes when they have failed at certain things by simply referring to them as a failure. But that doesn't mean that they are a failure in life. You know, all of us are successful in a lot of things. We are. I might have failed in areas where you've been very achieving and you've been very successful. And then on the other hand, there may be those areas where you have failed where I might have achieved. And, you know, all of us make mistakes. We do. I think it was Will Rogers who even made the statement that all of us are ignorant on different subjects. And that probably is true, isn't it? Do you remember in the 14th chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus walked on water? And he even not only himself walked on water, but he challenged the disciples to walk on water. Now, generally in today's world, when you say sometimes, why he thinks he walks on water, people say that, I guess you could say, in a cunning, sarcastic way, as to lead others to believe that perhaps maybe they think they're above failure. But as I said, there are times when we have all tried our best at certain things and we found ourselves sinking. Well, on this particular occasion, the Bible tells us that Jesus is walking, and when they see that figure coming, not knowing what it is or who it is, but Jesus identifies himself and he asks for Peter to get out of the boat and to come walking to him. Now, Peter immediately got out of the boat. He didn't think, hey, you know what? Had it been me, I'd think, hey, man, I'm not sure I can do this. I can do a lot of things in life, but walk on water is not one of them. And my wife would be very quick to tell you that is true. But Peter got out of the boat. You know, we blame him because what happens is when Peter saw those winds, how boisterous they were, and he saw those waves of water that were lashing, Peter got out of the boat. And those who would be quick to point out his failure need to stop and assess the situation. How many of us would have even got out of the boat? Peter did. Peter got out of the boat. He walked on water for a short time, but failed because he took his eyes off of Christ. You know, many times in life, the reason that we fail is because we take our eyes off the one who wants to give us direction and lead us where he wants us to be and where we can be. You and I have a tremendous potential within us. And many of us never, ever really live up to our potential. And we don't do that because we often take our eyes off of the one who has given us that potential and the one who wants to see us succeed. But if you remember, when you stop and think about the failing of Peter, we mentioned this morning in our Bible class, but it's true. It was the Apostle Peter who was privileged by Jesus Christ and God and the Holy Spirit to proclaim that first gospel message on the day of Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ. Now, God didn't consider Peter a failure. Well, I mean, think about all the things that he had done. In the 26th chapter of the book of Matthew, he denied Jesus. The Lord knew he was going to do it. He told him he was going to do it, but he still didn't believe he would. He said, I'd die before I deny you. But you know what? Put in the given set of circumstances, Peter did deny Jesus. He failed. So many times. When they were in the garden and the Roman garrison has made their way there to seize Jesus and to bring it back to the Sanhedrin, that ruling government of Jerusalem, the Supreme Court, if you will. Peter takes out a sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus. And Jesus turns to Peter and he says, Peter, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And Jesus restored that man's ear. But on the day of Pentecost, God privileges him by allowing him to preach the gospel. When I read the Bible, I see so many people, so many renowned biblical characters that are so outstanding that have failed in life at many things, not all things. And like I said, that's the reason you and I need to understand that because we have failed at certain things does not make you a failure. David tried to live a pure life, but he failed. And he said in Psalms 51, my sin is ever before me. And he tells God, he says, purge me with hyssop that I may be clean. Wash me. The Apostle Paul wanted to train a young man by the name of Mark in the school of preaching, so to say. But he wasn't successful at it. He wanted John Mark to be a great missionary, but it didn't work out. He failed in his attempt to do so. Because a person has failed does not make him a failure. I remember how many of you can remember the first meal you ever made? Anybody remember that? I remember the first gravy I ever made when I was a young man. I told you my mom died, and I was living at home, and my brother and my father, and I had seen my father make gravy. And I thought, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it. So I took that grease. I put in a little flour. Put in some water. And the more I stirred, the thicker it got. I added more flour. Then I realized that wasn't what I should have done. I added more water. I mean, I had a skillet of gravy that thick. Now, I like gravy, but I don't like it that well. I'm going to tell you, first of all, this is true confession tonight. The reason I hate cats, and I hate to tell you cat lovers that. You didn't know that, but we had cats all in our neighborhood. We had a mama cat, and our neighbor had a tomcat. Well, you know what happens. Yeah, we had cats all over the place. And I'll tell you what, I poured out that gravy outside. I thought, boy, this is embarrassing. I wouldn't want anybody to see this. That's the reason I said this is true confession tonight. I poured that gravy out and the cats wouldn't even eat it. But I'm going to tell you what, I got better with experience. And I'm a pretty good gravy maker. You can ask my wife, that's true. Do a pretty good job. Not boasting, just fat. I do a pretty good job. I'm making gravy now, but I've learned. But had you tried my first batch of gravy, you would not have been impressed. You are not a failure because you failed at something in your life. We all fail at certain things. We do. We should never, ever label ourselves as failures. Only when one becomes rebellious against God and unrepentant of his sins is he considered to be a failure. I mentioned this morning that man in the book of Luke chapter 12 who decided that he had been so successful in life that he would simply enjoy all the things that he had provided for himself, and God called him a failure. He even called him a fool. And he said, this night your soul will be required of you. The Bible talks about a lot of failures, actually the one in Luke chapter 16 as well, who had no concern for anyone but himself. Failures are only failures because they determine to be failures. There's a second thing you need to know, that all humans fail at some times in their life, every one of us. Is there anyone in this audience tonight who has never failed at something? We all have. We all have, every one of us. The scripture says in the book of Romans 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And John says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 18, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves. And as I mentioned to our class this morning, many of us deal with self, listen, we do, deception all the time. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We should not delight in the fact that we're sinners or that we make mistakes, and certainly I don't. God doesn't have any pleasure in the unrighteous, according to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5, Malachi chapter 1, verse 10 and following. But we need to recognize, however, that we do all make mistakes from time to time. We fumble the ball. Dallas Cowboys lost here. How many of you saw that game on Thursday? They lost. But they have probably one of the better teams this year than they've had in a long, long time. Romo did a... How many of you agree with me that Romo did a terrible job? Amen? Amen? Amen. Yeah. He probably doesn't need to be told that. Interception after interception. I mean, sack after sack. And you know what? I want to come to his defense tonight. A lot of people don't like him. They think he's a terrible quarterback. I'm going to tell you something. He's a pretty good quarterback. He is. But because he fumbles the ball every now and then, doesn't make him a failure. How many of you have ever been bowling and your bowling ball went in the gutter? Y'all look like you have no idea what I'm talking about. But it does happen. But that doesn't mean you're a failure. But thirdly, no man is a failure if he keeps on trying. That's the key to it, isn't it? You know, every day I pray to God, and I sincerely mean I pray, God, help me to do my best today. Every morning when I awaken and I start off to begin my day, I ask God to bless me and help me to give my very best that day. And we ought to be a people that pray in faith, believing that God is going to do that. Someone said that prayer is a voice. If whispered from the hilltops of faith, it is heard clear to the courts of heaven. If shouted in the dark valley of despair and doubt and unbelief, it only echoes on the hillsides of emptiness. Prayer is a tuning fork. Strike it on the promises of God and it has great reverberations and vibrations that bring the soul into proper key and pitch for harmony with God. And whatever harmonizes with God is cosmic in extent. It's eternal value. And it is triumphant in the circumstances of life. Failure is no disgrace when you have done your best. By the way, for those of you that were laughing at my gravy story, how many of you have tried to make gravy? See how few there are? Try it sometime. You'll like it. I've heard other people say sometimes of others, you know what? His best was not good enough. Not true. It is at that point that Jesus takes care of our inadequacy and our deficiency. He is our advocate, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. I heard a story one time about a college student. As a matter of fact, this particular university wanted to honor this man because simply he had given a lot of money to that particular institution. He had once been a student and had gone on to great heights. They wanted to put a sign under the entrance to the university that would inspire other people in that particular university, or maybe those who would anticipate going to school there. But when they examined his college career, they found nothing noteworthy. And finally, they honored him with these words: "He never made anything but the scrub team, but he never quit." I thought to myself, what an honor. He never quit. That's what life is all about, isn't it? Not giving up. Easy to acquiesce. But fourthly, your failing does not have to be final. You know, I wonder really what went on in the minds of the other apostles who were in that ship when Jesus bid Peter to come walk on water. Do you think maybe they reasoned in their minds when Peter stepped out of the boat and put his foot on top of that water that they said, can you believe that? Does this guy really think that he can walk on water? I don't know whether they were laughing at him or whether they were really admiring his faith. Bible doesn't really say. It's normal sometimes for people to laugh and scoff at other people who attempt to do the things they themselves are afraid to attempt. But again, do you remember? After Peter had denied Jesus, when the two Marys had got to the tomb of Christ, Jesus said, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and tell the disciples that I have risen from the dead. And by the way, tell Peter. Tell Peter. Sometimes when we feel that we have failed in great ways, we need to remember that even in our efforts to do right and to do the right thing, sometimes we make mistakes. Sometimes we don't say the right thing at a particular moment. Or maybe we don't do the right thing. But you know, I'm thankful that we have a loving Lord who knows our hearts better than we know each other. And because others may declare you a failure, does not mean that you're a failure in the eyes of God. That was what the cross was all about, wasn't it? Jesus knew there'd be times that we would fail. But out of his great love, he gave himself upon a cross. Brian Chappell tells a story that happened in his hometown a number of years ago. Two brothers were playing on the sandbanks by a river. One ran after another up a large mound of sand. And unfortunately, the mound of sand was not real solid, and their weight caused them to sink in very quickly. And when one of the boys did not return home for dinner, the family and the neighbors organized a search. They found the younger brother unconscious, with his head and shoulders sticking out above the sand. And when they cleared the sand to his waist, he awakened, and the searchers asked, "Where is your brother?" And the child replied, "I'm standing on his shoulders." With the sacrifice of his own life, the older brother lifted the younger to safety. The tangible and sacrificial love of the older brother literally served as a foundation for the younger brother's life. I don't know if you realize it tonight, but you and I are standing on the shoulders of our brother Jesus. We are. And I thank God that we are. And I thank God that when I make mistakes, God forgives me. Yes, he forgives all who turn to him. I hope tonight, if you're a Christian and you know that you've erred in your life, Maybe there are just some things for which you feel uncomfortable in your life tonight about. I don't know what it might be. Maybe something that needs to be forgiven. Maybe some sins that need to be confessed. Well, I'm going to tell you something. The older brother is waiting for you to get on his shoulders tonight while we stand and while we sing.